The Gallup Organization's most admired man and woman poll. It's an annual poll that the company's conducted since 1948. A cross-section of Americans are asked to say, what man and woman living today in any part of the world do they admire most? A living person anywhere in the world. Among women, in terms of longevity, the high mark for top 10 appearances belongs to the 90-year-old Queen Elizabeth II. Queen Elizabeth placed in the top 10 in 1948, the first year Gallup asked Americans to name the most admired woman. She's been on the top 10 list 47 times during the last 67 years. In December of 2016, 2015, the most recent poll, the Queen was the sixth most admired woman in America. But we still do remember the Revolutionary War. So she has never won the top overall honor. She's never been number one, the most admired woman in America. The high mark for the most appearances in the number one position, the most admired woman in the world, belongs to Hillary Rodham Clinton. Last December, for the 20th year, Americans again named Hillary Clinton as the woman living anywhere in the world that they admire the most. Mala Yousafzai was second, followed by Oprah Winfrey, Michelle Obama, Elizabeth Warren, Aung San Suu Kyi, Condoleezza Rice, Sarah Palin, and Ellen DeGeneres. Hillary Rodham Clinton has been the most admired woman each of the last 14 years and 20 times overall, occupying the top spot far longer than any other woman or man in Gallup's history of asking the most admired question. But what about us? A few weeks ago, I invited you to tell me which living woman you most admire. Send me an email. And I received 7 email responses. It's just exactly the right number. Thank you. Not too few, not too many. Joining with millions of other Americans, Carol Collins wrote, I admire Hillary Clinton. She is so smart, accomplished, with wonderful judgment, self-control, and endurance of adversary and criticism. Plus, she is motivated to help people and society. However, Hillary was not the only political leader that you nominated. Robert DeFilippo, Robert DeFilippi picked the number 8 woman on the Gallup top 10 list. He wrote, this may partially represent my bias as a Massachusetts-based snowbird, but I nominate Senator Elizabeth Warren, whose steadfast devotion to ensuring consumer protection from the predatory financial institutions of all sorts has made her, in my view, the most significant political leader for progressive policies to regulate our financial institutions. Verna Safran joined Robert. She wrote, I think Elizabeth Warren is worthy of being honored. Verna went on to say that former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords is also worthy of being honored. Joanna Vandenberg, who lives in Summit, New Jersey, but winters in Sarasota, wrote this. I admire Jane Roberts. In 2002, she co-founded the grassroots organization 34 million friends of the United Nations Population Fund, because in 2002, the Bush administration withheld 34 million from the United Nations Population Fund, which works worldwide for women's reproductive health and family planning. She traveled to many countries in Africa to spread the word about women's education and health being the key to any hope for people, the planet, and peace. Jane is a real trooper and was recognized with many awards. Jane Roberts, she now lives in Redlands, California. Now, one of you nominated a local woman. Dorothy Cox writes that she most admires Jane Ensel Twissel, one of the founders of the Women's Resource Center of Manatee, located in Bradenton. Dorothy Cox wrote, "Jan is my friend and neighbor at Freedom Village. You will never see her standing still or without a smile. She helps with the Women's Center and encourages and helps the sick here at Freedom Village. She is my role model and someone I so admire. The smile you see on her face, if you go on the website, is always there. Jan amplifies the ethics we want. Love and help your neighbors. See the dignity and worth in every human, everyone's right to search for their truth." Finally, two of you identified women in this congregation. Terry Murphy wrote, "When I think of the woman I most admire, I need to look no further than our own fellowship. We have many jewels among us, but there is one who stands out from the rest. She works tirelessly to improve the appearance, functionality, and ambience of our fellowship. Her hard work over many years has transformed what was once a scraggly yard into a flourishing, robust, colorful green space with a magnificent contemplative memorial garden where many of our deceased parishioners now rest under the sheltering trees. She is the first person to volunteer to help with the new project or to help solve the situation at hand when we have a problem. Modest in the extreme, she stays below the radar, but the church would have a hard time getting along without her constant services. She is also very active in our social services, always helping out, always providing support and encouragement to others. She is a model to emulate." "Who am I talking about?" writes Terry Murphy. "Who," Terry asks, "is the woman I would say I admire the most? Our own Diane Happy." Angela Carr also admires a woman in our church. Angela writes, "There is a woman I admire greatly and feel so fortunate to know. She is always ready to give her time and efforts to anyone who is in need of virtually anything. She is devoted to many causes and will gladly let others know how they too can help. Caring is her forte. This woman absolutely walks the walk, but does it quietly. She is also a connector. A connector is a personality type that was first defined in Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. Connectors make change happen through people. They galvanize people. They're natural hubs. That is just the way they're orientated to the world. These are people who, every time you ask a question, start flipping a Rolodex in the back of their mind saying, who do I know who knows this? Who do I know who has done this? Who do I know that I need to connect you with? They love connecting you with people because they're all about people. The person I am describing is our very own Dee Witter. Well, that's the seven from all seven of you. What a great list. Of course, it is highly subjective, with the choices determined by our own experiences, our needs, and prejudices. In my own case, I'd just like to add one more name. I join with others in my admiration of the 18-year-old Pakistani Muslim woman, Malala Yousafzai. And I'm sure I didn't pronounce her name correctly. Malala. Most of you are familiar with her story, but I think it's worth retelling. She's born on July 12, 1997, in the Swat district of Pakistan's Northwest Province. She grew up with her two younger brothers, her parents, and two pet chickens. She is fluent in Pashtun, English, and Urdu. Malala was educated in large by her father, who ran a chain of private schools. Malala started speaking about education rights as early as September of 2008, when her father took the 11-year-old girl to speak at a local press club. "How dare the Taliban take away my basic right to education?" Malala asked her audience in a speech covered by newspapers and television channels throughout the region. In late 2008, the BBC decided to ask the seventh grader to write anonymously about her life there. Her words were published on a BBC website. At the time, Taliban militants were taking over the Swat Valley, banning television, music, girls' education, and banning women from even going shopping. Malala became recognized because of her writing. In a meeting held in the summer of 2012, Taliban leaders unanimously agreed to kill her. On October 9, 2012, a Taliban gunman shot Malala as she rode home from school on a bus. She was hit with one bullet, which went through her head, her neck, and ended in her shoulder near her spinal cord. Two other girls were also shot, wounded in the shootings. After a five-hour surgical operation, doctors successfully removed the bullet, which had lodged in her shoulder near her spinal cord. She was flown to the United Kingdom for further treatment. Malala came out of a coma 8 days after the shooting, responded well to treatment, and recovered without brain damage. Months after the shooting, she had a five-hour operation to reconstruct her skull and to receive a cochlear implant to restore her hearing. In 2014, when she was 17, she received the Nobel Peace Prize. She is the youngest Nobel laureate in history. She started the speech by saying, some people know me as the Nobel laureate, some people know me as the girl who got shot in Pakistan, but my two younger brothers still know me as that annoying older sister. Here's the end of her Nobel speech.